As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks for listening. Please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest for today's episode is Jimmy Sons, frontman and lead singer in The Shadows of Night. In the 60s, they had the big hit with Gloria. And the band had started off in Chicago, but by the end of the decade, Sons had moved to New York City and reformed the group there. Over the ensuing years, he's fronted various lineups of the band and had quite the colorful career. Their latest single is Wild Man and out on Wicked Cool Records. It's also a recent coolest song in the world. Let's hear some of that now, and then I'll be joined by Jimmy for your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Mighty Manfred with you once more for our coolest conversations here in Little Stephen's Underground Garage. And my special guest today is lead singer extraordinaire Jimmy Sons of The Shadows of Night.
Hello, Manfred.
Hey, man. Yes, The Shadows of Night, the famed 60s band that hit the national hit with Gloria in 1966. And you guys have a new single out now called Wild Man on Little Stephen's Wicked Cool Records. How are you?
I'm good. And anything to do with Little Stephen, I'm cool with. Because he's a cool cat.
Absolutely. Well, look, man, back in the 60s, Shadows of Night, they started in the Chicago area. Then you relocated to New York City. You started up the band again there. Where do you call home these days?
Chicago again.
All right. And have
I've
you
been everywhere, man, but I'm still back home to my roots.
Excellent. And have you and your friends, your family and friends, been able to keep healthy these past few months?
Well, you know, as healthy as we can be, we stay away from everybody. But, you know, being that kind of self-quarantined away from everybody with just my wife and I, we can certainly get on each other's nerves. But we're doing good.
Excellent.
I met her when she was 17. I started going out with her, but I was only 27 then. I've been going out with her on and off. But, you know, through all that, and then 14 years ago, we got together and got married.
Excellent. Well, congrats on the belated congratulations on the nuptials.
Thank you.
So you and I, we spoke a couple of years ago before you played that Nuggets Fest, that Garage Rock Festival in Portland, and then we had a chance to actually hang out there some during that festival weekend as well. Since then, you also reconnected with the Shadows of Night guitarist Jerry McGeorge, and he played with
yep.
you in the band when it was originally Chicago. I want to ask you about Jerry, but first, I want you to remind us about how you came to join the Shadows of Night, because, well, you mentioned your wife being 17 when you met, but you were actually 16 when you joined the band. Is that right?
Yeah, 15, actually. I was just graduating from Prospect High School. I was either going to be a baseball player or a singer. I wound up being a singer. I joined the band. The band was a trio then, doing all surf music. And I talked him into letting me be a singer, and that's how it started.
So you wanted to be a singer or a baseball player. So what was the most influential singer to you at the time?
Who I identified with.
Yeah.
Eric Burden, Mick Jagger, Keith Ralph, all the hard edge guys.
And what about baseball? What was your favorite player? Who did you identify with?
Well, I played with Dave Kingman and Greg Lozinski in high school. I was also a baseball player. I hung out with those guys. It all made me. I went on to the major leagues of rock and roll.
All right. Well, when you decide, you mentioned, you know, you had this kind of point where you were going to either become a baseball, a major league player, or you're going to be a rock star. What was your home life like? I mean, were your folks like, you know, kind of disowning you, or were they supportive of you, or?
Well, you know, they wanted me to be a dentist or something which is noble profession, but dull. And I, like I say, I was a all-state baseball player for 3 years. Mm-hmm. I was a pitcher. I threw 96 miles an hour when I was real wild, but I threw a consistent 91. Yeah. I played with Dave Kingman, Greg Lozinski, and the thing was, at the time, I'm only 5'7", and the trend was 6-foot pitchers.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to spend any time in major leagues. And there was another instant perk with the rock and roll thing was the women.
Yeah.
I just decided, this is for me. I do this well, I'm going to do it.
So, you said you were 15. You convinced those guys to let you front the band. How did Jerry wind up in the Shadows of Night?
Jerry was actually the second rhythm player that we had. Norm, the first player, joined the Navy and went to Vietnam. And Jerry came in with Joe Kelly, our lead player, harp player, lead and harp. And that's when we got real serious about recording.
Mm-hmm.
And we add those two, and now away we went.
And so Jerry, he is playing on Gloria?
Oh, yeah.
So those,
Jerry's playing rhythm on Gloria. And actually, Joe Kelly, who wound up being a lead player, is playing bass on Gloria. And then he switched over to lead when he finally learned all the songs.
Oh, wow. Well, you know those early singles on Dunwich? We're with the Chicago guys, and a lot of the other songs weren't hits the size of Gloria. I think Bad Little Woman, I'm Gonna Make You Mine, Someone Like Me are all killer tunes. And out of those,
those were all in Chicago.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Make You Mine, and we were in Chess, 2120 missing Michigan Avenue, and was one of the last things cut there.
Oh, about that song, I was wondering, is it Jerry or is it Joe who's playing that really monster fuzz on I'm Gonna Make You Mine?
Well, that Joe Kelly, that was a 49 Fender bassman with 410s, a tweed bassman, and it was my amp, and I just turned the volume up on about 15, and we ripped it.
Absolutely. It is massive. It's I think the greatest fuzz sound ever on I'm Gonna Make You Mine. So Jerry is the rhythm player, and then he wound up leaving the band at some point to join H.P. Lovecraft. Why was
right.
that?
Well, the way, to be polite, let's say that we're getting screwed by our original management, besides the money and all kind of stuff. And we got to the point where we were still going out to play, but it wasn't any fun anymore.
Yeah.
So one day I said, I don't know if I can do this, but I think all you guys are fired. And I fired everyone. 2 weeks it took me to get another national contract with Cavanaugh's Cats, and that's when the Shake came out.
I see. So
Shake's
how
a good time, right?
Oh, yeah, it is. And the Cut Shake is, you know, that was a hit. That was a national hit. And for me, that's my favorite track off of there. But thinking some more about Jerry, so how did you and he reconnect, and why did you guys start playing together again?
Well, you know, we never, it was an amicable put up. We just decided we should all go on different records because I wanted to be a rock star for life. And I said, we're not getting anywhere now because we have no get up and go because things aren't going our way.
Yeah.
And Joe Kelly had his blues band. He was known as Joe Kelly, the Blues Shadow. Jerry and Tom actually went in H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah.
Tom Shafour, the drummer. And Hawk, was in Lovecraft, and then they went to Madura, they changed names. Everybody did something else, which wound up being, there was a lot of talent in the original band, and everybody showed it by making it again, yeah, in their own little way. And I was still been playing Rockstar for 35 years now. So I like fast music, fast cars, and fast women.
Well, so around the time of the Nuggets Festival, somewhere in there, you played with the original, a lot of the original guys from the Shouts of Night. What got you and Jerry continuing to play? Why did you guys keep playing together, decide to play together again?
Well, you know, Jerry's in a different part of the country. He's out in Wyoming or Nevada or somewhere in the Wild West. I see him every once in a while. We talk a lot. You know, we're always friendly. And we knew sometime we had a 50-year reunion 4 years ago. And it was funny because when I got all the things together to do the first live gig in 50 years, uh-huh, I went and had a stroke. And that was weird because, you know, I'm all right. Well, mostly all right. Anyway, the reunion was 90 days after I had a stroke. And my doctor said, Jimmy, you're going to be fine, but 90 days, I got to tell you, you'll never be back on the stage in 90 days.
Yeah.
And I was not only not on stage, but I was all over it. I just had that drive to do it, and all the guys are great, and we had fun. We have a live recording that we'll get to in a couple months after this Wild Man thing goes.
Well, let's get this straight. So the new single, Wild Man, it's out on Wicked Cool Records. And yep, my notes say it was written by you and Michael Weber. So tell me about this guy, Michael. Who is Michael Weber?
Michael Weber is the best kept secret in rock and roll. I've been doing gigs with him since he was 17. He's now 22. He is amazing. He is just not another young guy playing the 60s music. He is the 60s music. He was just born too late. The kid can play. He can write. He plays drums. He plays bass. He plays organ. And he plays a hell out of guitar. I use his band mostly, the Michael Weber band, and that's what the Shadows is nowadays.
Uh-huh.
And they're all, the oldest one is 22, and they shake my ass around the stage. I can keep up with them, but I need an oxygen tent and a corpsman. I need Nurse Goodhead when I'm done singing with them.
So how did you meet Michael? How do you know him?
Well, I met him when Sonny Jurici had his stroke, Sonny from the Outsiders. Mm-hmm. We had a big fundraiser in Cleveland for him, yeah, and Michael was the guitar player that was going to play my stuff. And he was great. We did a sound check. And I said, Michael, you play so many notes and remind me of Joe Kelly. Uh-huh. I said, but if you play that loud today, I'll break your ear. But no, yeah, I've been with him. He's a great kid. We write well together. He's got the feeling. He's got all the ES-325s and the Vox and Fender amps. He's got everything it takes.
You guys wrote the song together. Who came up with Wild Man, the idea, and how did you guys write it?
Well, we were thinking about a thing that should be a song about me. And I said, well, you're the original Wild Man. I said, well, let's call it Wild Man. And it's, I don't know how many times you got to hear lately, but it's kind of autobiographical. The second verse was like, I have battled a woman and like that. And we put that in there. I used to race cars. Third verse, I got a big old Hemi, and it can't be beat. If you want to race me, I'll run you in the street.
Yeah.
And that's about what I was into then. And the song sounds like it could be the single following Make You Mine. But
Absolutely. It
was just written 2 years ago, and we've gotten more of them.
Well, tell me, when and where did you record Wild Man?
Well, Michael has his own studio in Silver Lake, Ohio.
Okay.
And I flew to Ohio for a few days. We finished it up. I had the word scratched out on a piece of cardboard, and away we went.
Did you do a whole album's worth of stuff then, or just the?
No, we did. We did an EP. We did "I Ain't Got You," which is what the Shadows have done since '65. We did an Eddie Cochran tune called "Something Else."
Yeah,
and "Sound Like a Man," get something else. But we did a bunch of stuff, just stuff we liked, and it came out well. And then about 6 months ago, I was talking to Steven, and he said, "You know, what did you ever do with that stuff that you did with that Michael Weber kid?" And I said, "Well, we were just about to remix it and had Jerry McGeorge on it." Mm-hmm. And he said, "Well, I'd really be interested in that." We sent it to Steven, and he said, "Hey, want to be in my label?" And I said, "Yep, big man." And away we went.
Excellent. So when we're on the far side of this pandemic, will you and will Jerry join you touring as the Shadows of Night, any?
Well, I don't know. I think he will. I hope he will. I know that Michael Weber and I will be going out and rocking and rolling and rocking on. As I sign everything now, I always write "rock on" it. But yeah, I've been doing it so long, I write "Walk on and on and on and on and on."
Well, you've had a career filled with ups and downs and twists and turns. And there's one story I hope you'll share with our listeners and Satellite Radio Land that took place back when you were like the road manager, or maybe you were the sound man for that band, Starfish.
The famous Sid Vicious.
Yeah, you had to deal a little justice out on Sid Vicious of the Sex Pistols.
Well, you know, I was the sound man and the road manager. They're playing in Rye, New York. We were leaving the next day to go join the police tour in Europe. And all of a sudden, I see this big thing going on in front of the stage. Sure, jumped out of the sound booth and went up there. And this is, Manfred, you can't make this stuff up. The fight started over Patti Smith's brother, Todd Smith, who was going out with Tara, the drummer, already. Sid Vicious cheap shot at him, and everybody's yelling, "Sid didn't do it, Sid didn't do it." I was the only guy that didn't know who he was. I just separated him. I said, "Hey, fuck, get out of here, you know?" Anyway, I pushed him apart, and he said, "You ain't nothing," and he spit in my face. And that was it. I did the All-American thing. I beat the crap out of him. And I was dragging him down the stairs. And the police, who I, let's say, had more dealings with than I would like to have in my lifetime, I thought they were going to arrest me, but they just took me away. And I was wound up with his blood all over me. And I bought one sleeve of a T-shirt on, and then Skinfish, who was an amazing artist in his own right, goes up and, "And my friend and brother, Jimmy Sound, is going to sing the Lord with us." And I'm going, "No, I'm all bloody, but we did it. There's always room for a Gloria." I never met a Gloria I didn't take home.
Oh, yeah. Wow. You mentioned, you know, having to deal with the police, and I know you had to serve some time, but when you were in the Huskow, you formed a band called Jimmy Sons and the Cons.
Jimmy Sons and the Cons. Yep. And we were like a metal band. We did Judas Priest and 19 AC/DC songs. And I almost wound up in AC/DC. But when I went to the audition, he said, "Man, yeah, we think you want to have it." And I said, "Well, I may have to go away for a while." And they said, "What do you do?" And they said, "Let me guess, cocaine." I said, "Yeah, that song, Cocaine." And I did 3 years. I went away, and I'd like to say I've been rehabilitated and learned my lesson, but I'm not going to lie.
Well, when you had the Cons back with you, where did you ever get to play outside of prison?
Oh, yeah, We went out and we first started doing all the other correctional centers. Mm-hmm. Then we started doing the fundraisers, Martin Luther King Days. We won the Mississippi River Blues Festival 2 years in a row. I was stationed, shall we say, in the Quad City area, East Moline, Illinois. And if I learned anything in jail, it was that there are 5 Quad Cities. Uh-huh. Not 4 or 5. We got to play quite a bit. And that we went in and out. And I all the guards were outfitted in my Jimmy Thompson t-shirt, which were black with red and white brick wall on them with a cell in it that said Jimmy Thompson Cons on it. And the back it said, Rock in the Dock, Department of Corrections. Yeah, we were pretty good. I learned that there was a lot of musicians in jail. I don't know why we always went up there, but we just did.
Well, we need to give this B-side to the single a spin in a moment. We talked about it briefly. We'll mention it. It's a version of I Ain't Got You, written by Calvin Carter and done by the likes of Jimmy Reed, Billy Boy Arnold, and the Yardbirds. Early on, the Shaws of Night did a lot of blues tunes, stuff from Muddy Waters. And
we're doing the same time as the Yardbirds, slightly different versions. Later on, I got to play with the Yardbirds quite a bit, and I once in a while sang with them. I used to turn I'm a Man into Oh Yeah, and go back and forth between two of them. I'm still in touch with Jim McCarty, great guy.
Yeah.
And we have fun.
So why'd you decide to include I Ain't Got You as the B-side, or why'd you decide to record it?
Well, we did record it in 1966 with the original Gloria Sessions, and it got lost somehow. And I just decided, well, we recorded it once. I thought it should be on a record, so let's record it again. So we did. Excellent. You know, I always change the words a little, you know, how I am. I had a habit of doing a lot of the original blues songs. I used to make love to you, Hoochie Coochie Man. And I always did a verse of my own. So the second verse, we go, I got a master and a GT. It's got a thing skill, boys, man. Got you. I got a cat on the coast of Maine. I got my whole women insane. I got a little bag of cocaine, but I ain't got you. You know, I'm true to my form.
Absolutely.
And you know what? Michael Weber is playing every instrument on that song. Drums, bass, guitar, keyboards, and sings background vocals with me.
I was going to ask you about that. And I know that Jerry, when he was in the band all those years ago, he played rhythm guitar. He contributed backing vocals then. Is he singing any backing vocals on Wild Man?
Yep, he is. And he's in backing vocals and rhythm. We put him on a year after he did the original tracks. We decided to add him, and it worked out fine. We sent the tracks out west. He did them out there. And we sent them back to Cleveland, Ohio, area, which is Silver Lake, actually. It's between Cleveland and Dayton. Michael did that. And Michael Weber did a video. He did that overnight.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
The kid's incredible.
Well, hey, we're going to play this B-side. The B-side to the latest single from the Shadows of Night. Here's their version of I Ain't Got You in Little Steven's Underground Garage. With their cover of I Ain't Got You. That was the Shadows of Night here in Little Steven's Underground Garage with a B-side to their latest single, Wild Man, out on Wicked Cool Records. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to lead singer Jimmy Songs for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. And thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. Make sure you join me next time around when my guest will be guitarist Brian Ray of the LA band The Bayonets. He also counts as his day job playing in Paul McCartney's band. But he's just issued a brand new solo single on Wicked Cool Records, and we'll find out all about it next time around on our Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe, Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.